Welcome to episode 12 of the Marketing Development Podcast. My name is Pete Everett. I'm your host, and today we are talking with Natalie from New Software Marketing. Natalie specializes in marketing automation and the development of membership websites. And we talk all things marketing automation, software, membership sites, and also a little bit about recurring revenue streams and how to start the process of marketing automation. Show notes for this episode can be found on peteeverett.com/012. Enjoy the show. Welcome to episode number 12 of the Marketing Development Podcast. And this week I have the great pleasure of talking to Natalie from New Software Marketing. Bonjour, Natalie.
Hi, Peter. Thank you so much for having me. Bonjour.
That's as far as my French will go. Natalie is from France. We're not just talking French for the sake of it. And she runs New Software Marketing. So, Natalie, do you want to introduce yourself a little bit and what you do?
Sure. So, I actually co-founded New Software Marketing in 2006 with my husband and business partner. And, you know, we've made, you know, lots of, you know, turns and, you know, done different things. But what we do today is we specialize in marketing automation. I am an Infusionsoft certified partner, and I help entrepreneurs design, implement, and optimize their lead generation and sales funnels. And we also help entrepreneurs take their business to the next level with online courses and subscription-based solutions so that they can reach more people in a different way.
That's really interesting. And you do this with your husband, and you work with a range of businesses?
Absolutely. So I work with my husband. We also have another full-time person, and then we have some VA. We also have like an ongoing VA service for our recurring clients. So we do have several, you know, other little services and revenue streams. But basically, we are a team. Yeah.
That's great. I haven't yet taken the plunge into employing a VA. I must admit, a few people have mentioned it to me that it would be a good thing to offload a few elements of what I do onto a VA, but I haven't got that far yet. Do you just want to, first of all, maybe just start about explaining what marketing automation is and why it's important for businesses?
Sure. So so maybe I can tell you a bit why I went into marketing automation, because that wasn't my thing.
Great.
Just very quickly, is that our background, my husband and I, is software development. We were software developers in the Silicon Valley. We lived there for 10 years. And then when we came back, we were like, okay, let's develop software, let's develop websites. Very quickly, we found out that pretty websites don't sell, right? So what does sell, right? What is the purpose of this website? The purpose of the website, to me, is a list building machine. The goal of the website is to get people email address so that you can start that, to build that relationship. So that's how I started to look at what do people do with this email when they get them. You know, I mean, for years we've had this email list sitting and we were just doing nothing because we didn't know what to do. So I really started to research what successful people were doing, and they were all talking about build your tribe, build your audience. So then the next thing came, like, okay, but if you want to scale a business, we're all for scaling, right? And people say, you know, you have, if you want to make more, you have to start doing less. I say, how do we make that happen? And that is really through marketing automation. So then when I started to look at marketing automation, to me, automation meant like you're a robot. Everybody gets the same thing, and it's not, you know, there is no relationship. But actually, when it's done well, it's completely the opposite. Because if you have somebody that's running, like writing a newsletter manually and every week or twice a week, they broadcast an email, everybody gets the same thing, right? And to me, that's like same message to everybody. Now, if you do marketing automation, what I call the right way, and you use what we call behavioral marketing, what you're actually trying to do is you're trying to automate getting the right information to the right people at the right time. And that means that the automation is what allows you to scale and reach more people. But there is still all that logic in marketing automation where you're going to look at what people sign up for, what emails they open, what link they clicked, right? So that mm-hmm. with that information, you can send them to the proper next best piece of information for them. So it's really targeted to them. It's almost like, you know, when they say you write an email and it's got to feel like you're writing to one person. Well, that's what, you know, good sales funnel should look like. It's like, oh, okay, why is she sending me this? And that's because you 2 days ago, you clicked on that link. So you expressed interest, you know, in that topic. So to me, that's really the strength of marketing automation, is really to be able to build that relationship with your list.
That's brilliant. You've put it together really well about you know what it is, and actually, yeah, you know, I just yesterday posted on something on Facebook where an ad or a video or something appeared on my feed, and I literally commented, "Are you reading my mind?" and you know, so that's really what you're picking up on. So the million-dollar question then is, so if I'm a marketing consultant, or if I'm a somebody that's thinking of maybe taking the plunge to be self-employed or whatever it is, where do I start?
Okay, so the first step is, and some people are not going to like it, but you have to know who you're trying to talk to, right? So you have to mm-hmm. know your audience, right? So you have your audience, they have these problems, they are looking for solution to their problems, and then you have this expertise. Right? So yep. What you want is you want to reach these people and basically, you know, in short, you know, make the offer, right? They have a problem, you have a solution. So then how do you implement that with marketing automation? So first you start by producing content, right? That is going to show you that you are an authority, you know, in the subject, mm-hmm. right? And you're going to engage with people. So that's something that might sound counterproductive, but at the very beginning, every sign up that you get counts. So engaging one-on-one with people, whether this is on Facebook group, on LinkedIn, you know, wherever that is really critical. Talking to people is really critical, especially at the beginning, because this is what's really going to allow you to say, oh yes, this is definitely the people I want to work with, and this is definitely the people that I don't want to work with. Mm-hmm. And you really have to go through that exercise so that you can really nail down who you want to talk to. And a lot of the mistakes that I'm seeing people do is they're like, well, I'm not exactly sure. You know, I don't want a niche yet because I don't know who I'm going to attract. So therefore, I'm trying to, you know, cast as many people as I can. And the result, you end up talking to no one. Right? So it's being really clear, you know, what your expertise is, how do you want to help people, and start building that list and having that conversation. Putting in content out there, you know, whether you want to blog, you want to do a podcast, or you want to, if you want to build your list a little faster, you can even, you know, partner and start to tap into other people's network, you know, and audience, you know, people that basically complement what you're trying to do. So it's really the first idea is, like, without even trying to sell, is to start, you know, getting known and thinking about what do you want to be known for, and start building what I know the know you, love you, trust you ladder. And this is really what's going to get you the people that you're meant to work with, and it's going to help you define exactly what your offer is going to be.
You've hit on so many things which resonate with my journey, and exactly why this podcast came into being. Particularly, you know, content creation, you don't have to go back that far where content creation meant blogging.
Yes.
And I'm the sort of person where a white document with a cursor flashing in the top left-hand corner scares me to death. Mm-hmm. I tried blogging, I used to do it a while ago and sort of, you know, persisted with it as best I could. Then eventually I gave up and I started trying to do it again last year. and it lasted, I don't know, 7 or 8 blogs, and it just seems tedious. This is the beauty of the way the internet, the beauty of the internet, and the beauty of the way marketing and positioning yourself as an authority and all of that kind of stuff. How that there's now so many different channels. And the first time I did a podcast, it felt really weird. I mean, very strange. But the reality of it is, once I got 4, 5, 6 podcasts under my belt, and okay, I've only done 12. Yeah. But by the time I got, you know, with every one, it starts to feel more natural, and I get to speak to lovely people like yourself.
Yeah.
So it's about finding the content creation isn't something to be scared of. There's so many different ways of doing it. That's the point I'm really trying to make.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's okay to try different things and see what works for you and what resonates with your audience. I mean, if you want to start blogging, you know, if you don't bring any traffic to your website, then nobody's going to see your blog. So you're going to feel like you're blogging for nothing, right? So that's really more like a long term, and you need to bring in SEO, and because you want to try to rank with Google and things like that. But those are not like short term. Short term, you need to start talking to people. You need to find out if you really have something there, if there is something, you know, that you can start to monetize, because money loves speed, right? And speed of implementation is key. So talking to people is really, really important.
The other thing that you mentioned was to do with niching down and not casting your net too wide. And I've fallen foul of that as well, where, you know, you think, well, surely business sense means the more people I talk to, the better it's going to be. But actually, no, you end up having to dilute your message and dilute what you're trying to achieve so much that you fail to achieve anything. And it takes so much strength and willpower not to look at the numbers in the early days. But talking to 5, 6, 7, 10, 15 people that are pre-qualified to be kind of your target audience is far better than instantly getting 100 or 200 people where they could just be anybody.
Absolutely. I mean, that is absolutely the key. You have to start that conversation. You have to let people tell you what they are looking for, because you've attracted them in the first place. Whether this is because they listen to your podcast, they signed up to your freebie, there is something there about you where they said, well, maybe there is something I can learn from Pete. You know, I want to find out more about this guy. So you've attracted them some way. So now you can start the conversation and see exactly, you know, what they are looking for and how you can help them. And that's with all that information that you are going actually to build services and packages and offers that will sell, because you let people tell you what they want from you.
So let me just pick up on that then a little bit. So, you know, okay, so I'll use me as an example.
Yep.
So I run a digital agency. So I, you know, we have the podcast to do with marketing development and working with marketing consultants and marketing professionals. So I have a podcast, and I have started attracting some audience listeners. And then on my website, I put up an ebook to do with optimizing a web page for SEO. Everything a marketing consultant needs about optimizing a web page for SEO. And I get people to subscribe to my list, or, you know, they pop their email address in the box and they get a copy of the ebook. What happens then? What sort of journey should I be thinking about taking them on to ask? You know, how does that asking work, I guess, is what I'm really trying to ask.
Okay. So when you're starting, you know, when you're starting building your list, I think it's okay to, like, come up with a freebie that you would think attract people. But ideally, you want your freebie to be in direct correlation with what you want to sell to them. And that's another mistake I see, is that people have a freebie and then they have an offer. And then the problem is that the offer is not the next natural logical step for people after they consume the freebie. But it could be, right? Because if you think about it the other way, this is what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to sell this coaching or this consulting, you know, package to these marketing professionals. And what piece of information can I give to them that is going to get them closer to want to work with me? So you can give them like a piece of the solution. You can give them a checklist of you know, things that they need to think about, things like, you know, because we don't know what we don't know. So things that you feel like they should know and they should start thinking about, right? So the goal of when people sign up to your freebie, this is just the beginning. This is the beginning of the conversation. So the first thing is to make sure that they consume your freebie. Now, if you look at your funnel, I don't know if those stats are still true, but it used to be that about 50% of people that sign up to freebie don't even open it, right? Mm. So one is making sure that people open and consume the freebie. So what I have is when somebody signs up to a freebie, 2 hours later, I send them another email that says, did you get it? If you did, please just say got it. And you'd be amazed at the number of emails that I receive that just say got it. And that achieves two things. One, I've started the engagement, right? And then two, it's also telling their service email service provider, whether this is Gmail, Hotmail, that this is a legit conversation. So it's also helping the deliverability of my emails. And that's just a mm-hmm. little trick there, right?
That's very cunning. I like that. That's very good.
And I love it when people, you know, send reply to the email and say, got it, you know? And yep. And so then your series of email, this is what you're going to build what I call the love you, trust you ladder. You know mm-hmm. you, love you, trust you ladder. And this is where you're going to basically follow up on the freebie. You know, are they consuming it? Do they have any questions? And then start with your call to action right away. Some people have a tripwire, you know, it's that little offer, that $7, $27, that can be a compliment yep. to the freebie. You can do that as well. You can do it right away. Some people do it on the thank you while it's hot. I don't. Mm. I don't have a tripwire, but that's one way to do it. Or you can just have your call to action. For me, because I want to talk to people, the call to action is to schedule a call with me. Right?
Yeah.
I don't sell anything on my site. You cannot like click on a buy button and buy. Some people say it's a mistake. I want to talk to people before they purchase from me. I want to make sure we are a mutual fit. Okay. Mm. So, and it's basically continue sharing content with them that is going to build that trust ladder. So it's going to be a combination of more content to help them, you know, educate them more. It's going mm-hmm. to be sharing about yourself, being vulnerable as well, being human, showing that if you've been in their shoes, then showing them, you know, stories of maybe how you've failed and what you've learned from it and things like that. It's also sharing testimonials, right, and success stories. So there is a combination, you know, of emails that you can send there to build that. And you'll see that some people will be hooked right away. I can see that. And they, you know, schedule the call right away. And for some other people, it takes a lot longer. And that's mm-hmm. okay. They say you have to, you know, interact with people 7 or 8 times before they will actually start to take action and do something. So you also have to take that into account. But that's basically the goal of your email, is that you have a call to action, something that you want them to do in mind. And that can be hit reply and answer a question. I think personally think it's too early to ask them to fill out a survey, right?
Mm.
Because you want to build that relationship, you know, a bit more before you can ask that. But at some point, asking them, you know, even in the second email, what's your biggest struggle? You can say something like, you know, I'm working on some new content and I would love to know how I can best help you. What is your biggest struggle right now?
Yeah.
And then people will reply and will tell you, well, I'm struggling with blah. Right. So, and that can will also help you not only with your offer, but with also the free content that you might want to produce.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. So if I just return to the example of me that I mm-hmm. said before, so I may have a freebie, which is the Marketing Consultant's Ultimate Guide to Optimizing Content for SEO. And then I may, the sort of offer that comes off the back of that could be a, you know, a 6-week online course for marketing consultants, everything you need to know for SEO from keyword research through to ranking ranking your content in the search engines or something like that. Yep. That's a bit long-winded, but that's the idea behind it. Yeah. Yep. Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. Don't just start with this is a good thing that I could give away, but actually just go the next step to say this is a good thing I could give away, but does that fit into what I'm ultimately trying to achieve?
Absolutely. If there is a disconnect, you will probably get the wrong people on the list. And then you wonder when you start launching while people are not buying because they sign up for something that was not in alignment with your offer, right?
But this is great. This is like a personal training session. It's brilliant. We then start getting people onto our list. So that could either be, we start then getting customers to come back to us. So they... that could be, in your case, that scheduling a call, or it could be buying a course or buying a book or buying a product, whatever it is you're trying to sell. And then I take it that the automation can then go the next step into not just making them a sort of one-time purchaser, but then keeping that relationship going.
Absolutely. So one of the things that you can do with marketing automation, I mean, you can do it manually as well, but it's just more work, so people tend to forget. But there is really three steps in the marketing automation, in the lifecycle marketing, right? So one is you're going to attract the lead, right? Mm-hmm. Then you're going to sell, right? So you're going to attract and you're going to build that trust ladder. Then you have the second part where you promote, right? You're going to promote your offer. You know what their problem is. They know they love you. You make your offer and you make it like the next logical step for them, right? So it's like, you have that problem, you love my stuff, I have a solution, here it is. Do you want it? Mm-hmm. Yes or no, right? And then the third step, which is the one that a lot of people forget, is the follow-up and the delivery. When people buy, this is not the end. This is the opportunity for you to strengthen that relationship. So you need to have automated follow-up. Right. Mm-hmm. So not only during the course, like say maybe you have a 6-week course. So, you know, maybe it's going to be dripped every week, but you do want to have a follow up, say like a month later, 2 months later. I mean, I follow up with people 6 months later. You know, I'm sending email. Actually, I do this manually because for higher end clients, I do this manually, but you can. Also, you know, automate that in your funnel. So you reach out to people to find out how things are going, but also you get testimonials, right? You get feedback surveys and things like that. And they are like strategies for people to get people to answer the surveys, right? You can give them a bribe or something like a bonus or something. So, if they fill out a survey, and that's where you're going to get your ideas for what you should be next, how you can make your course better. And then you get your testimonial for your next launch so that, you know, you have this social proof, right? But you also get that in that information, you get more interest from them. So maybe they are interested in a mastermind, in a group mastermind, or maybe in one-on-one help, right? So depending on the way you structure your questions, then you can find out if there is potentially like an upsell, another offer that you would like to make to them, right? And that's the part where we're really missing. And especially after an online course, a recurring membership could be a great way to, you know, continue to help them, you know, in a different capacity.
Now, that sort of ties very nicely into the other side of what you do, because the marketing automation is and the infusion software, that's kind of half of what your company does, isn't it? And then the other side is to do with membership websites and recurring, you know, building a recurring revenue stream through membership websites.
Absolutely. So actually, membership sites is right now, it's the bulk of our business. The majority of our business, I would say, is membership site. I think last year we built over 80, maybe 100 sites, membership sites. So we do build a lot of these sites. And the marketing automation really came afterwards and is a good addition for people actually that want to take it a step further with us.
I'm always a little bit scared of membership sites, not being a member of them myself. And, I'm a member of a number of sites myself, but actually taking the plunge into starting your own membership site, I guess that's something that you don't necessarily consider on day one, because the membership sites from my experience, only really work when they've got a reasonable number of people within them. You know, if you're charging somebody, I don't know, $40 or $50 a month to be part of a membership site, and then when they log in, there's only four of you in there, it's a little bit like a ghost town. Mm-hmm. So where would you start with something like that?
So actually, I think it really comes down to you want to consider building a membership site, you want to consider what's involved in creating and building mm-hmm. a membership site. So you're not going to have, unless you have a big list and people have told you, have raised their hand and they've said, yes, I want a membership, I want to be part of a community, it's going to take time to build it. The real power of a membership site is that if you don't overwhelm yourself with content creation, it is a great way to work on your terms when you want to and to build a recurring revenue, all right? So that's when you build a membership site, you're not shooting for like huge launches and making seven figure and stuff like that, right? The goal is slow and steady because it's mm-hmm. really an ongoing effort. And I'm not saying like it's like a hard work and a lot of work. It's as much as you want to, you know, devote, I want to say, to the community. And you definitely need to get help. You can't do everything alone, right? Mm. But it really depends what you want to, the type of service that you want to provide. Do you see yourself doing this long term? Do you want to build that community, right? So it's really probably going back to, you know, how do you want to work with people? Recurring membership is a great way to create that support, that community. To me, this is where the real power of membership site are. It's not really like, if you're going to provide content that people pay monthly, but there is no community, then I think you're going to have a higher, a churn rate, people basically leaving. Because, you know what we say, people join memberships for the content, but they stay for the people, right? So mm-hmm. that's really what it comes down to. So, and you can totally get started if you have nobody, because there are ways to test a membership idea very fast with a minimum viable product and mm-hmm. To get those first founding members, right? You run a pilot, a beta at a very attractive price, and those people are going to create the foundation for your community. Right. Yep. And once you get that established, then you can start, you know, having strategies to, you know, regularly get, you know, new members in. But it's something that you build steadily. It's not something that's going to be overnight, you know, boom, I'm making, you know, a five figure a month with my membership overnight, unless you have a big list of people interested.
If only it was that easy.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if it were that easy, right, so many more people would be. It would be successful. And again, whether you're doing an online course or a membership site, it always comes down to building your audience, right? Mm. You'll see that the people that are successful, what did they do? They built their audience, they ask people what they want, and they built it, and then it sells.
And it's that simple. It's that simple.
I mean, it is. I mean, it might not be easy to build your audience because you have to get out there. A lot of people are avoiding promotion and creating content because at the beginning you're going to hear crickets. You are, you know, it's the reality, but you have to keep going. So then you're going back to your why am I doing this, and you just have to keep at it and being consistent until it starts working. There is no overnight, there is no magic pill, it doesn't exist. So it's that grit that you need to have.
I can totally relate to that. I put a comment in a Facebook group. So I joined a few Facebook groups to do with podcasting and picking up some tips and getting some advice in setting the podcast up. And you can be in one of those groups for literally 5 minutes and then see somebody that says, oh, it's amazing, I launched my podcast and I'm on episode 4 and I've had 2,000 downloads and my Facebook group now has 1,500 people in it and you just think, it just makes you feel sort of this big, it mm-hmm. it makes you feel so small with what you're doing. But actually, you're right. You almost need to start doing something like this for the love of doing it, mm-hmm. and for the love of finding that audience. And that audience will come. It's just a case of persevering with it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So can I just ask then, a little bit of a curveball, but obviously we're both based in Europe. Yeah. So how has GDPR changed anything, or is GDPR something you need to be concerned about if you're wanting to start on this journey? Have you got any sort of advice or any anecdotes from the past month or two since GDPR has kicked in about how it's affecting marketing automation?
Sure, absolutely. So first, let me just say that I am not a lawyer, so I cannot give you any legal advice, okay?
Neither am I.
Yeah, exactly. But I thought I'll mention it. Every time somebody asks me something about GDPR, I feel I have to say that. But actually, GDPR, you know, in the goal of GDPR is a good thing. You know, it's the goal is really to stop spamming people with things that they didn't ask for. Now, what I'm seeing right now is my inbox, I still get as much junk as I was getting before. So actually, the people that were doing it wrong are still doing it wrong. That's basically the bottom line of what I'm finding out. But I mean, for most of us, right, and, you know, it's a bit different because I'm in France. I mean, we are in Europe. For most of us, it's really not going to change much, right? Except that we have to obtain this consent, right? And we have to be much more clear about what we're doing with the data and things like that. But it's not like I have seen people delete their list. I have seen people and starting over. I have seen people asking everybody to re-opt in. You know, and things like that. I have seen people trying to segment people that are in Europe and not in Europe. And I say, well, I'm sorry, but you cannot tell. Because if I am on vacation in the US and I sign up from there, I'm still a EU resident. But you don't know because I was there. So people have wasted so much time, I think, trying to make it like 100%. I don't think it's possible. I think what we have to do is make sure we are not spamming people. We are actually delivering what we think, what we say we are going to deliver and nothing more. And just respect people's privacy, you know, and we'll be fine. So I haven't done much besides, you know, giving people my new privacy policy. And just making sure that I am only sending emails to the people that have agreed to be on my list.
Yeah, that's the key thing. And I've heard a number of people talking about GDPR in that light as well, that it's a good thing. Ultimately, it's a good thing because it means that whilst your list, if you've got an existing list, it may reduce in size a little bit. Mm-hmm. Actually, what it's doing is it's naturally cleansing itself to those people that do want to hear from you. So, I kind of concur that ultimately, if you engage with the spirit of GDPR, there are a few loopholes that you've got to go through, and you've got to bear in mind and basically make sure you're doing your own due diligence. Yeah. But actually, the consequential effect is really a good thing. I agree with you on that.
And actually, I think I got at least two people that I saw that sent me an email and say, "I didn't see your GDPR email." Right, so that's a good sign when somebody say, you know, so I didn't click. Am I still going to get the stuff? You know, I didn't see a GDPR email. So when you get this type of message, then I think that means that you must be doing something right.
Yeah, I've not experienced that in the emails we've been sending out. So I'm a little bit jealous.
Yeah. Well, I wonder what she was talking about. Am I supposed to send something? And then, you know, I figure she said, well, you know, like, are you going to ask me to re-opt in or something like that, right? So, but I found that was funny, so, yeah.
So that's brilliant. Have you got any sort of advice for people that are wanting to start this journey or maybe thinking about marketing automation? I mean, obviously, you're Infusionsoft certified, but that's... Infusionsoft is a very expensive piece of software. So if I'm Joe Bloggs and I'm wanting to try this out for myself or I'm wanting to get some advice, what's the best way of going about it?
Well, there are several options out there that you can look at. You know, my favorite after Infusionsoft would be ActiveCampaign because I like tools that are actually tag-based. it's a lot easier to segment people. So I used to be on AWeber. I was on AWeber for a long time, and the segmentation and, you know, that all that behavioral marketing, although they say it's doable, you know, it makes it really complicated. So I like tag-based solution, ActiveCampaign for sure. And then Drip also is a good option to look at. And then ConvertKit. ConvertKit, I'm really not a fan of the interface, but in terms of what they're trying to do, you know, some people love it, so it's certainly another good option. So those would be the three, I would say, ActiveCampaign, Drip, and ConvertKit are really good email system to get you started on marketing automation.
Great, and most of those have WordPress plugins if you're running a WordPress website as well.
Absolutely.
So it does make, whilst it may not look as polished or as customized as some platforms are, it gets you going.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you for that. I know you guys run a podcast as well, don't you? So do you want to sort of tell us a little bit more about some of the other things that you do?
Oh, sure. So actually, I don't have a podcast, but I have interviews. So it's like, it's not in iTunes or things like that, but I have interviewed about, I think, 60 entrepreneurs. So I did two series. I did one series that's called the Lifestyle Entrepreneur Series, where basically I interviewed entrepreneurs to share their story on how they got started, and you know, what problems, what failures they encountered and how they overcame it and things like that. And then the second one was the Passion to Business online show. And what I wanted to do with that is I wanted to show people the possibility that you can make money with almost any idea, right? So you can turn a passion or hobby into a business if you do it right. And there, of course, there are ways to validate that idea, right? Because you want to validate that quickly. But you can make money, you know, with almost everything. Because really what it comes down to is you have an expertise. People are looking for it, right? It's you solve a problem, people have the problem, and they are willing to pay for it, right? If you have these three things, then you probably have a good idea there that you can monetize, right? So that was really the goal, is to get people inspired with what's possible. Because I was talking to people, I do a lot of free consultations. I think I am at like 300 and something in my Evernote, because I take notes for all of them. And I learn as much as people learn in this consult, because I learn their struggles, right? So it's helping me a lot to build my free content, right? And to see what people are, where people are struggling, basically. And to me, that's really the key. That's what we're trying to do. That's what I'm doing, is I am engaging with people like every single day. That's my thing right now. It's talking to people.
You know, that's the thing. When I started going on this sort of entrepreneurial journey, if you like, one of the things I was most afraid of was being out there on my own. And the more you do this, the more you engage with the process. And sometimes, as I said earlier, when I started the podcast, it felt downright weird. But actually, the more you put yourself out there a little bit and you push the boundaries, actually the more people you find that you have conversations with and that you resonate with, and that people who are on a similar journey, actually, you know what, they just like, it's like a community of its own. It's, you know, there's, okay, so you don't have that water cooler chat in an office because we're all separated across the world, but actually you find other people and you resonate with them as well. So it's about having the confidence and then identifying those things, isn't it, before, so that you can start those streams of recurring income.
Absolutely. So I mean, I think, like, I don't know if the people that are listening here are already entrepreneurs, or if they are switching from like a corporate job to being an entrepreneur, but being an entrepreneur is all about being creative. It's about getting out of your comfort zone. I say to everybody I talk to, like, I mean, not everybody, but that's something I should say, is that you have to do something that makes you uncomfortable every day. And right now for me is going live on Facebook every single day. I've been doing it for like 40 days, I think, something like that, until it gets a habit, right? It gets to be a habit. And if you're comfortable, then you're not growing. That's really what I feel. Then we get like, you know, we start getting some traction, we start making some money, and then we start to, you know, slow down and just like, you know, take it for granted. And that's where we hit the plateau and then we have to start over. So it's really about being creative and not being afraid to do the things that we don't want to do. Because most of what we should be doing is engage with people, building that audience. And then when it's time to promote, it's promotion. We shouldn't be spending time on the tech and learning how to use WordPress and all that stuff. This is not where your genius is, where your expertise is, right? This is getting out there, right? Either getting new clients or getting partners or things like that. And that's really a change of mentality where you have to be in that mindset that I think my husband was just telling me that he was listening to somebody that was saying like I cannot afford to hire somebody to help me. And he replied, well, you can't afford to hire somebody to help you because you don't have anybody to help you, right? So that might seem counterproductive, but that, what that means is that you can't do everything, right? So either you have to focus on what your zone of genius is, and you have to surround yourself with people that can help you. A lot of people are doing nothing because they are like stuck with one specific area of the business that they don't know. And you have to get out there and get some help. And that can be free help, that can be paid help, that can be a coach, that can be a course, that can be various things. But that's the mistake that people are making, is they stay stuck there waiting for like the solution to come to them. And that's kind of like pre-marketing, right? It's like, well, something's going to come up and, you know, I'm eventually going to find a solution. But if you don't do anything about it, then you're going to be in the same exact spot 3 months, 6 months from now.
That's exactly it. If you put the same in, why would you expect any different out?
Exactly. That's my tagline, actually. I think it's on Skype, is we get into our business exactly what we put in.
There you go. There you go. Perfect. There you go. Well, look, we've come full circle. So that's brilliant. Natalie, it's been great talking to you. How can people reach out to you should they want to?
So, well, they can visit my website. It's newsoftwaremarketing.com. And then, you know, if they, you know, scroll around, there is a place for them to schedule a free call if they want to chat. I love talking to people and hear what they are, you know, what their business idea is. And then if I can give them clarity on the call, then awesome.
Fantastic. I'll put a link to that in the show notes. Show notes for this episode will be on peteeverett.com/012. So there'll be show notes there, and we'll there'll be a link off to there. And where, if we want to see you on Facebook Live, where do we go?
So the page is New Software Marketing. So you can go to newsoftwaremarketing.com/live, and that will get you to my business page.
Fantastic. I'll put a link to that one in too, so that we've got that. So brilliant. Thanks, Natalie. Thanks for your time.
You're welcome.
So there we have it. Episode 12 in the can. If you'd like to see the show notes for this episode, they can be found at peteeverett.com/012. And please come and join us in our Facebook group at peteeverett.com/group, or search Facebook for the Marketing Development Podcast. We'd love to see you there. Also, if you enjoy the show, I've never done this before, but if you enjoy the show and would like to leave us a review on iTunes, it would be very, very greatly appreciated. If you have anything negative to say, how about you just leave that off iTunes and drop me a quick email? That'd be great. See you next week.